Let us begin our worship by singing the refrain from Lift High the Cross. Good morning. I would like to welcome all of you this morning to this beautiful Easter day. Would like to remind you to please sign the attendance pads that are in your pews. Pass them down. Pass them back after you've signed them, and the person on the end needs to place them in the offering plate at that time. We have a lot of things going on in the next several weeks in the life of Main Street, and I'm just going to take these chronologically. Just a little blurb about them. Please follow up in the newsletter, or you can check our website for further information. The first one, we sadly report that we are having a farewell covered dish dinner for our very own Babs Dunn, who is moving back north to be with her family. It's going to be this Tuesday, April 14th at noon. This is covered dish dinner. Bring something. Let's all visit with Babs and have a wonderful time. Next, this coming Friday will be the last day to turn in items for the college care packages. These are shoe boxes that are filled with goodies that are sent to our college students prior to final exam week so that they can have a little nourishment and a little bit of fun during exams. A list of these items can be found in the newsletter, or you can call the church office, and these items need to be turned in by this Friday. Next week, Monday, April the 20th, is the United Methodist Women Dinner Meeting. And then the next day, on Tuesday the 21st, is the United Methodist Men Dinner and Program. These are on the back of your bulletin. You can get more information there. Also, this will not be held at Main Street, but it involves one of our very own. And this is the Shell Doula Appreciation Dinner. It's going to be April the 25th, starting at 6 o'clock in the Finest Horn Arena. You do have to have tickets purchased prior to the event. So those can be purchased in the church office, or you can also purchase them through Lander and Greenwood High. And finally, the variety show and dessert auction is going to be held on May 3rd. This used to be called the talent show, but for various reasons, we've changed it to variety show. You don't necessarily have to have talent. We need participants for this show. If you can sing, act, dance, pantomime, act silly, have a cute pet that you want to put on parade, anything like that, we will be more than happy to have that in our variety show. We also need desserts that we can auction off, and this money will go to the youth. Finally, there will be no gathering this Wednesday because of spring break, and the church office will be closed tomorrow and will reopen at 8:30 on Tuesday morning. Now let us continue in worship.
Would you please stand and join me in the call of worship? This is a great and joyous festival day. Come to celebrate amazing good news. Sing songs of praise, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Open your hearts and minds to the risen Christ. You're greeted by name and welcomed here.
Please be seated. And I invite you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin. We greet the dawning brightness of this special day with hopes renewed. We have known grief and sorrow, loss and tears, fear and failure. Meet us here, living Christ, for we need this time of resurrection. We need your healing presence. We need your word of greeting that welcomes us into this community of faith in spite of our doubts and faithlessness. You are the great teacher. We have come to learn from you. We want to be your disciples. Amen.
Our first reading for today is from the 10th chapter of Acts, verses 34 through 43. You can find this passage on page 157 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. We hear Peter proclaim to Cornelius and his household both what they know about Jesus from widespread reports and what he and the apostles personally witnessed and were commanded to tell by the risen Lord. The resurrection of Jesus and his appointment by God as judge of the living and the dead. Listen now for God's word. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle lesson is the first 11 verses of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And you can find this on page 214 in the New Testament section of your Bible. Here, Paul declares the things of first importance, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen again for God's word. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and you have come to believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our time of prayer, I have several updates on our prayer concerns. Billy Tunstall continues in his treatment, is doing well. Meredith Edwards is home out of rehab for now, is doing better. Rebecca Bartless and Don Marino, we have been asked to pray for them and their situation as they anticipate the birth of a child. We want to continue to pray for Mary Lynn Polk, who had shoulder rotator cuff surgery this past week, for Amy Gregory Young and her continuing treatment, for the family of Philip Legg, whose funeral was yesterday, for Pat Connell, who is in the hospital now and will have some tests tomorrow. And I want to offer up a thanksgiving for those of you who have sent me cards and letters at upon my accident last week, and also have helped us out when the tornado hit the parsonage on Friday night. Bill White and Susie, Emmy Burns, Chuck Bell, Neil Asman, and others who helped us get out of our driveway. And things are going to be okay in all those areas. So we continue to be in prayer also for those who are financially anxious and looking for jobs. Let us lift all these concerns, as well as our private concerns, up to God as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, open our eyes this morning and help us to rise. Roll away the stone from the tomb of our cynicism and despair. Free us from the grave clothes of our anxiety and guilt. And allow us to walk in the garden again with our friend and Savior, Jesus, your Son. Because in your power, not even death could hold him, we do celebrate Easter. And in your love, not even death will hold us back from forgiveness, grace, and hope, and new life, and life eternal. The Easter hope is too marvelous to be contained within words or history. It finally bears fruit in our lives. Our lives made new, our brokenness healed, our fears calmed, and our purpose found. Lord, death, decay, and judgment do not have the last word. You do. Violence and oppression and self-serving lies do not have the last word. You do. Bitterness and hatred and lust for more and more cannot fill our emptiness. You do. Lord, with our minds, hearts, and souls, we come before you, lifting up our prayers and lifting up our concerns and our thanksgivings, our praise before you. Hear us, we pray. Heal us, we pray. Touch us, we pray, and give us that Easter hope. In this holy moment, in a moment of silence, we lift up our private prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers for one another, and our prayers of confession. Lord, hear our prayers, for we do pray them in the name of your Son, our Savior, the resurrected one, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Come in close. Come in close. I'm going to ask you some questions. I need to hear your answers. Oh, my goodness. I'm feeling outnumbered.
All right. That is a lot of people.
I'm about to do the scariest thing a preacher ever does, and that's ask children questions. Because I don't know what y'all are going to say. But first of all, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been afraid? Have you?
Yeah.
What's the scariest time you've ever had? Anybody? There was a tornado? Yes, I had one of those at my house. Yes.
Last night was a tornado.
Okay, yes, we did. Yes.
When I once almost fell off a horse.
Almost fell off a horse? Okay. Anybody ever get lost? And you by yourself?
I got lost in Disney World.
You got lost in Disney World? Well, you weren't exactly by yourself, but you were lost. Yes, okay. Yeah. Yes, you got lost. Yes, at the fair. That, yes.
I was going down the woods with my cousin.
Uh-huh.
And I got lost in this shiny place where all these things
were. Yes. He got lost in the woods, yes. Well, let me tell you something. There's a part of Easter that we don't think about very much. The disciples, you know the story about the cross, right? And Jesus was dead. The disciples were afraid. They were very, very, very afraid. And they went into a house and they locked the doors. And you know what shutters are? Sometimes we don't have real shutters, but they're outside the windows. And you shut them all the way and you put a little bar of wood across so that you can't see out and nobody can see in. They locked up the house as tight as they could. They covered the windows. They covered the doors. They locked everything down because they were afraid. They killed Jesus. We thought he was going to be the Messiah. I guess he wasn't. That's what they thought. And they were so afraid that they were going to be killed next. They were afraid that Jesus was dead and gone, and that was the end of it. Because most of the time, when people are dead, that's it. Easter. Easter, we celebrate that God has power over even death. That God has opened a door through Jesus Christ so that we can come to Him. Not only can we know God here and now and God's love here and now, but we can know and be with God forever. Jesus showed up, did not have a key to the door, did not have any kind of a key to unlock the windows. He just showed up in that locked up place and showed Himself to be alive, to be resurrected, to be the one that they had known, but now they understood that He wasn't just Jesus, their teacher. That He was the Son of God. And you can spend the rest of your life figuring out what that means, but mostly it means when we look at Jesus, we know God's personality. We know God's self in Jesus Christ. And you can't put out God's love. You can't bury or kill God's love. You can't lock Him out of your life. God is determined to come in through whatever locked door, through whatever attempt to remove Him. No matter where we run, God is there. One of the Psalms says, even in the depths of the earth and even under the sea, God is there. And so we might as well reach out and accept God's embrace because He's going to be chasing us our whole lives. Nothing can keep God away from us. Easter says, not even death.
Not even the worst thing we've ever done can keep God and God's love away from us. It's a happy time to know that, to remember that. It's a joyous thing to know. Let's have a prayer. Everybody hold somebody's hand, even if it's a girl. Okay? It won't be a circle. I'm not sure what it'll be. But I'm going to say the prayer, and at the end of it, y'all can join me in an amen. How about that? Okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for this happy day, for the new clothes, and for the bright flowers and decorations and the wonderful music. And we thank you most of all for the hope and the joy that you love us and your love cannot be put out. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Now let us pass the peace. Let us affirm our faith through this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven,
and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, first 18 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now we all, on this Easter day, 2009, are concerned about the way things are going in the world, where the economy is going and where the money went and what's going to happen next. And I even heard someone last week ask, "Will Main Street be able to keep its doors open until next Easter?" I thought, whoa. Well, let me take your concerns to a whole new level. I read this quip last week. Death is nature's way of saying the economy and taxes are not your biggest problems. Why would I bring up death on Easter? Well, you can't have a resurrection without it. I want to be true to all that Easter is this morning, and we all know where this is going to end. It's going to end with "He is risen." But where do I begin? I am realistic, and I know some of you don't care where I begin as long as the beginning and the ending are as close together as possible. Many, perhaps most of you are here to worship, but others are here begrudgingly or because of family tradition or pressure, and a few of you are glad that none of your friends are here to see you. Raise your hand if no, don't. We all have heard the sweet little stories and the analogies of spring, and frankly, I have no idea what a male rabbit delivering chicken eggs has to do with it. But must we really buy the whole death and resurrection story? I know it does not seem likely, but the unlikeliness of it is part of its proof. We'll get there. Jewish historian Josephus from the second century said that hundreds and hundreds were crucified by the Romans in Jesus' day. Why was Jesus remembered? Why didn't his teachings die with him? Imagine for a moment that you personally were following a Messiah in that time period. And there were, you need to know, plenty of Messiahs, so-called, to attach yourself to. And imagine that you were personally following such a Messiah and then he got killed. Wouldn't you think that you had made a mistake? And wouldn't you just shuffle off dejected back into your previous life? Well, that's not what happened. That's not what happened with Jesus' followers. The very fact that we have heard of him and have his teachings and life recorded and remembered in the New Testament says that something happened. Something happened, and as detectives, all of us with full knowledge of human nature and behavior, I think that you can come to the same conclusion I have. Something happened to change the defeated and dejected disciples' minds. To this day, the Buddha's grave is a shrine. Muhammad's grave is a shrine. From the earliest records, no one ever made Jesus' grave a place of pilgrimage, perhaps because he didn't use it for very long. If the movement had continued only in his memory, his grave would have become a shrine. It never was. Something else happened that no one expected. And you know the Easter story, because no one expected it, it was not wishful thinking for some well-established expectation. No one expected it. There was no tradition in which a resurrection could fulfill it. There are, however, bits and pieces and some poignant passages such as Isaiah 53, which Jesus does seem to fulfill in shocking exactitude. I want you to read Isaiah 53 when you get home, but I'll share just a few verses. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And also in the first century Christians called to mind Abraham, who was told to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham trusted God and he was willing to do it, but in the end Isaac was redeemed and a ram took his place. Well, the earliest Christians connected Abraham and Isaac and that story to Jesus as God's son, sacrificed as our redemption because no other sacrifice would be sufficient for the sins of the whole world. And in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews uses some very strange language in a similar way, painting Jesus as the high priest offering himself as the perfect sacrifice to himself for the sins of the world. I suppose the main point of all that confusion is that God is the actor. God is the actor in offering us hope and forgiveness and new life through and through. You see, Easter starts way before Good Friday. It starts with a God who wanted relationship with us and trust from us from the very beginning. And God sent prophets and preachers and parables and words. And finally, when none of that worked, God came Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. And why would a Creator God ever do such a thing? There was nothing in Jewish tradition that ever anticipated God coming to us in flesh, much less the Eternal becoming truly mortal and suffering death, real death. Why would God do that? I think because of us. The thick-headed, self-centered, violent sinners we have proven to be, I think also because of who God is. The God who is love, the God who is, could not stand by on the sidelines as we destroyed each other and lived lives so beneath our potential and so harmful to one another and to ourselves. God, because of God's own loving nature, couldn't stand by any longer. And so God came to us revealing His truest personality and His nature in Jesus Christ. And here, true to our nature, we tried to kill Him. Church and state conspired to lift high itself and to do away with all this talk of love and forgiveness and grace. But you already know the end of the story. You already know that He was dead and He returned from the dead and said to all of us, do what you will. My love for you cannot be put out. My light and life cannot be buried. You've done your worst, your darkest deed, and I've come out the other side and left a door where you tried to seal a tomb. A door that whomsoever will come can come into my embrace and receive what I am determined to give, forgiveness and love and grace. Abundant, fulfilled, and connected life here and eternal life beyond. By our sin against each other and sins against creation and sins against the will of God, we have declared an ongoing war. And we echo that war in every relationship and in every nation and every institution on earth, even the church. But God's determination to give us peace and purpose and horizontal and vertical belonging, God has won in Easter and continues to win one soul at a time. I'd like you to read the newspaper each day and read world history. We are constantly at war with each other, at war with our better nature and class against class, race against race, party against party, men against women. And in light of this, the first chapter of the book of Colossians starts to make more sense. Everything makes more sense after Easter. It says there that God was in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross. At my last appointment, I had several young Hispanic men come and visit our church and sit on the front row. And I don't really speak Spanish, but I can memorize it phonetically. And I memorized that verse from Colossians set in Spanish. And at the end of the sermon, I simply said in Spanish, which I won't try now, I have forgotten it, God was in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross. And the young man sat there, smiled, and said, amen. If that is all of the gospel you know, it just may be enough. God is offering in Jesus Christ that peace which we long for, which we cannot make on our own. On our own, we war. Even within ourselves, we war. Even against our own well-being, we war. And so when we hear Jesus proclaim from the cross, it is finished. It means that the desire God had to be in relationship with us and us with each other is now possible. It means God's plan from the beginning for peace and knowing is now possible. God's offering of Himself to achieve this plan, all these things, is finished in God's self-offering in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, something magnificent and grand and cosmic is finished, or maybe I should say, set into motion. For it is not truly finished until the tomb is empty and the stone is moved away, and Jesus reveals Himself to be back from the worst we could do. And maybe not even then, because when Jesus ascended, then the Holy Spirit descended in a new and powerful way. As Jesus said in John 14, the Spirit will be not just with you, but now can be in you. After the Easter resurrection, God offered through the Holy Spirit new life God-empowered life. And don't be nervous. When I say Genesis, some people look at their watches. They say, oh my gosh, he's going back to Genesis. But in Genesis, God gave life to the mud man. Many people know that in Hebrew, Adam or Adamah, it's a Hebrew joke. It means dirt boy, mud man. God gave life to that mud man, that dirt boy, by breathing his spirit into him. That's how it happened. Well, God can give new life to our bodies also. And that is the true end of the gospel for us. The second creation, a new God-breathed life within us, enabling us to love as God loved us, enabling us to forgive as God has forgiven us, enabling us to feel and act with compassion instead of warring for our self-interest only and always. So maybe it is not really finished until God resurrects in us His plan, His life, His God-breathed spirit inside the deadness of each of us. Now I'm going to make a steep, unexpected turn. Hold on. If push comes to shove, I think I could work the prodigal son story into almost every sermon I preach, and today for the first time into Easter. That parable paints the gospel with God as the waiting father and the wasteful son who lives a wild life out in a far country, and then the other son, the smug, stay-at-home son who thinks he's good enough to judge his brother. And he's the one who refuses to attend the Father's party. I believe there is a simple but profound Easter connection. Maybe not, but I believe it today. That parable, the son who had wasted his life and inheritance and fortune and potential, who came home dirty, represents us. And the undignified thing the father did by running to embrace his dirty son and receive him home, we could see in that a parallel of the undignified, the unheard of thing of the Creator God coming in flesh into his creation and allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. The father in the parable showed a shameless act of love, an unbelievable and scandalous love when he ran and embraced and received his filthy son and reclaimed him as a child. And so on the cross, God has done much the same. God's shameless love is seen there. God's undignified love. God's unbelievable and scandalous love for you and for me. And at the end of that parable, there is a party. There is a huge celebration. And that, brothers and sisters, is what Easter ought to be. The smug brother who stayed on the porch and refused to enter the party, he had completely missed the point of his father's scandalous love. And so do we miss the point. If we think the Christian faith is about judging and withholding and having a reserved demeanor about everything, even stiff, professorial John Wesley said the sour godliness is the devil's religion. It ought to be a party. It's unbelievably good news that God loves us this much. Who knew before Jesus? Who could have guessed that God would go to such lengths to not only forgive us, but to embrace us and celebrate us, to welcome us into a party thrown for selfish sinners come home? Easter gives us cause to celebrate now in this life. And it points to a celebration we cannot yet imagine in the life to come. You see, Jesus' resurrection appearances all reveal that he was changed somehow. Mary didn't recognize him. He came back, but not as he left. He could eat and he could allow himself to be touched, but he could also enter a room without benefit of a lock, of a key for a lock or opening a door. He was changed. He was different. He was in a form that indicated a special status the Bible calls the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was not merely taken down too soon and then resuscitated in a cold tomb. He was resurrected. He was changed. He had gone into death and come out the other side with a new kind of existence. And so, as the faith grew, it wasn't teaching parables that grew it. It wasn't a claim of inspired scripture. It wasn't dogma or creeds. It was resurrection appearances which propelled the disciples out and the church with them. Bishop N.T. Wright of the Church of England has written that the Christian church grew fast and furious for the first 10 or 15 years when there was no New Testament scripture written down. How? With eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They had initially shuttered themselves, as I said in the children's sermon, in a house for fear of their own lives, but their fear was short-lived. Their doubts faded, just as the one we call doubting Thomas. His doubts were removed. How? By a confrontation with the risen Christ. Without Easter, without the resurrection, Jesus would have been one more crucified would-be Messiah under the oppression of the Romans and forgotten. But the missionary zeal of Peter and Paul and the others came from this emphatic witness to the resurrection. And everyone who saw it was as puzzled as we are. But the party, the Easter celebration, is because of that unexpected, unheard of happening. God's Son, Jesus the Messiah, was dead and then alive again. Jesus, as the firstborn from the dead, gives us hope that the kingdom of God, this new creation that was promised, has begun. In Jesus' resurrection, God's Holy Spirit and a new reality was let loose in the world. He was not merely a wise teacher who was remembered fondly. He was the firstborn from the dead, a cosmic occasion. It was this resurrection which made Jesus' disciple go from fearful hiding to fearless preaching. And what did they preach? They preached Him crucified, dead, and risen. We're not free in our distance of time and our sophistication and scholarship. We're really not free to divorce His teaching from the reason His teachings were remembered. They were remembered because He was dead, really dead, then seen alive again. They were giddy with bravery and joyous amazement. Now we know the depth of God's love through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We know now the personality of Jesus Christ is God with a human face. God could not stand by uninvolved, and so He took on the very worst that we could throw at Him, the sin, the evil, the violence, and the mad power structures of this world, the very worst. And His love and His life could not be put out. You cannot kill God's love. You cannot drive God's light off into the darkness and contain it and keep it out. Easter says so. God the Creator is determined to give us life, to give us new life, to give us abundant life connected to one another and connected to Him, and to all who come to give eternal life. It is growing in you now. Faith and deeper faith. By the Spirit of God, it is growing in you now. It takes only a seed. Let it grow. As Karl Barth, the theologian, once said, when it comes to the gospel, everybody is an amateur. Everybody is a beginner. This is Easter Day. Let us begin again to make it our own. Be blessed by the Easter hope. Grow in the Easter hope and become the child of God you were meant to be. Amen. Amen.
Please locate the insert in your bulletin, turn to Thine Be the Glory, and let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
go forth from this place with the blessing of the knowledge of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and the presence and the power and the comfort even in this moment of God the Holy Spirit are with you, available to you. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,